Yes, life is good. You probably heard this one before, but I enjoyed it when I read it again, so I'm hoping you will. Little boy opened the big old family Bible with fascination, looking at his pages as he turned them. And he was flipping through the pages, something fell out, and he picked it up and looked at it closely, and it was an old leaf that somebody had taken and compressed in between the papers. And he said, "Mama, look what I found." Mom said, "What have you got there, son?" With astonishment, the boy looked up at his mother and says, "Look, it's Adam's suit." I enjoyed it for the second time. And one more that just got me going yesterday. Young redhead goes into the doctor's office and says that her body hurts wherever she touches it. "Impossible," says the doctor. "Show me." She takes a finger and pushes on her elbow. She screams in agony. She pushes on her knee, screams again. She pushes on her ankle and screams. The doctor looks at her and says, "You're not really a redhead, are you?" She says, "No, I'm actually a blonde." "I thought so," the doctor says. "Your finger is broken." Do I got to get serious now after that? All righty. It is good to be here. I got to want to thank Brother Jensen for doing Sunday school this morning. It was real good. I especially enjoyed it. For those of you that weren't here, he gave a really great illustration and a demonstration even of some golfing techniques. And I didn't know golf could be so interesting, to be perfectly honest with you, but he had his, you know, clubs out here on a mat, and he was hitting golf balls up here on the stage. And I thought, how on earth can I top that? Then it dawned on me. The next time I preach, I'm opening up the baptismal, I'm bringing my scuba gear, and I'm jumping in. So, all right. Anyway, it is, I tell you what, it is good to be here this morning. And I tell you, with everything that we're facing, there's no better place to be than somewhere where you can hear the Word of God preached, where you can get in touch with God, where you can actually sit back and listen to a living God. As Americans, we face some pretty enormous challenges within our country. As Christians, we face opposition from many different directions. Some are without, some are within. But if you're here this morning, and if you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith, then you're facing an adversary that's much larger than you realize. In fact, if you're here this morning and you're lost, you're facing an eternity in a lake of fire, an eternity in a hell where there is no end, there is no solution, there is no escape, there is nothing but flame, there is nothing but fire. It doesn't get any better. It just continues on and on and on. Listen, there is no other problem in this world larger than that problem. There is no other problem. But whether you're lost or saved here this morning, I want you to know one thing as you sit here this morning. The thing that I want you to think about is the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to speak to you. Just simply that. The Lord Jesus Christ is trying to speak to you. He's trying to get you to listen to what He says. He's trying to get you to believe what He has to offer you, and He's trying to get you to accept what He wants for you. I've titled this message this morning, God's Promise of Pursuit. God's Promise of Pursuit. Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're gathered here together on a Sunday morning once again, and Lord, it's a grand and it's a glorious thing to be in the presence of the living God, the God who created the universe, the God who holds our very breath in His hand. Father, everything that we have down here is because You've given it to us. And Lord, we ought to be more grateful than what we are. Father, help us to be thankful for who You are and what You've done for us. And I just pray that You'd open up our hearts and our minds here this morning, and that, Father, You'd be able to reach in and touch the heart of each and every individual that's here, and, Father, that You'd be able to speak to every man, woman, and child in this congregation this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can, let's open our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. And when I started this thing out, this sermon went all over the place. So if it appears, if you're trying to take notes and that's kind of where it, you know, seems to go, you'll know that's because that's where it kind of took me as I was going through it. But Nehemiah chapter 9, and most of you know what Israel's been through by the time we get to this point in Nehemiah. Israel has been through, as a nation, just a whole lot of stuff. We don't have time to get into all the details right now, but let's just say that their history as a nation can be compared in a lot of ways to many of the events that you've experienced in your own life. That is, listen, Israel, prior to this, has had their ups. They've had their downs, right? They've obeyed the God of heaven and earth, and there's been times in their history where they've disobeyed the God of heaven and earth. At times, they've tried to get close to God, Jehovah, the Old Testament, the Bible, and at times, they too have wandered far away from their God. Now they sit here, having just in chapter 8 celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. By the way, this is the first time in chapter 8 that they had celebrated that Feast of Tabernacles in hundreds of years as a nation. And they just got through with that. Everything is going well, and Israel is kind of riding up on a mountain peak. They're kind of on a high right now. They're trying to get in touch with God. And for 8 days, they've been getting together, and they've had the Bible read to them. Ezra stood up on a pulpit of wood and opened the Bible and read the Bible. And there was priests and other people that went around and explained to the people what the Bible was saying so that they could understand it. And this whole thing's been going on for over a week now. And now here in chapter 9, we'll start up in verse 1, it says this. Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fastings and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. So Israel had just gone through on the Feast of Tabernacles there, which starts on the 15th day of the 7th month. And they had gone through about 8 days of Ezra getting up and reading the Bible and going through and being reminded of what the law said and what God had told them. And then you notice this is on the 24th day. So if they started the Feast of Tabernacles on the 15th day, and they, you know, had 8 days worth of reading and everything, where are we at? We're at what? 23? So then the 24th day, they start this whole thing all over again. So it hasn't been that long. So let's just say Israel right now is kind of on an upward swing, and they're on a mountaintop. And God sits back, and God reminds them. Just scan as we take a look, starting kind of in verse 9, and just kind of skim a little bit of what's going on in chapter 9. In chapter 9, verse 9, the Bible says, talking about the nation of Israel and reviewing their history, it talks about them, and to see the afflictions of our fathers in Egypt, and heard us their cry in the Red Sea, and showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and upon his servants. Take a look at verse 11. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through in the midst of the sea on dry land. Verse 12. Moreover, thou leadest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light. Verse 13, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven. Verse 14, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath and commandments, and commandest them precepts. And verse 15, and gavest them bread from heaven out for their hunger, and broughtest them forth water for them out of the rock of their for their thirst. So, going through here in Nehemiah chapter 9, like I said, the nation of Israel is on this high point. And you know what? They're in a place where they're all sitting around listening to what God has to say to them. They're listening to what God has to say to them. Which brings us to the first point here this morning, and that is just this. Kind of like Brother Jensen this morning. Very basic, very simple. Just back to the basics, guys. Back to the basics. I agree 100% with what he was saying. And you know what? Sometimes we just got to get back to the basics. And one of the basics here is just this. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to listen. Now, they've been at this thing for, 8 days already, and they're starting another round, and they've been sitting back just listening attentively. What does God want me to hear? What does God want me to have? What does God want to say to me? Listen. They're sitting back listening and reviewing how good God has been to them. Let me ask you this. How good has God been to you over the years? How good has God been to you? What has He saved you out of? Can you look back at your life and pick out times where the Lord obviously for you took you through something very difficult, very traumatic, very potentially dangerous, and protected you and sheltered you and got you through that time? Well, see, Ezra and these people are standing up reading to Israel and reminding them of all the different times God has protected them and saved them along the way. Listen, God wants to speak to you, and when He does, He wants you to listen. And when He wants you to listen, He wants you to listen because there's a lot of times where you can look back in your life and you can say, you know what, that must have been God. God had to have protected me through that time period right there. There's a lot of wonderful things that God's done for me and for you. When I look back at my life, when I look back over the years, listen, everything that I have, everything that I own, everything that I've experienced, all of that is due to God's glorious goodness to me. Any success that I've had is because of Him. I've told you guys this before, I got a wife by witnessing to somebody. Right? I got promoted in the Marine Corps, meritorious promotion, boot camp. Why? Because I was a lay leader in boot camp. I used to march the Marines to church on Sunday morning. That was our free time. I didn't expect to get promoted out of that. But I look back and I go, wow, what a blessing. Not very many people got a meritorious promotion in boot camp. Everything that I have, everything that I've got is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? God sets the nation of Israel down and He starts to talk to them. And He wants them to listen. And He wants them to remember just how good He has been to them. It's amazing what you'll learn if you listen. Now, it may be that you look back over your life and you say, not everything has been good. It may be. And if you think about it, that's a fair enough statement, but if you think about it, probably just about everything that you face that hasn't been good revolves one way or another around sin. It revolves one way or another around sin. Now, it may not have been your sin directly. It may have been the sin of somebody else, or it may have just been the result of living in a fallen world, and the devil's in charge, and a lot of things happen on this earth that are unfortunate. We look at our prayer list and we think of Tenny. Well, that's an unfortunate thing. We think of Jacqueline. We think of this young man, getting hit by a car, breaking both his legs. We think of some things that have happened in our life, and those things are unfortunate. And those things are a tragedy. But I tell you what, if Adam and Eve had never sinned back there in that garden, if Adam and Eve had never sinned, we wouldn't be sitting here praying for Tenny with cancer. You understand? Our problem as a people, as a mankind, is sin. If Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, none of you would have to worry about marriage troubles ever creeping up. None of you would ever have to worry about children that wandered away. None of you would ever have to worry about falling back into the same old things that you used to do back in the bad old days. None of you would have to worry about being at a time in your life where you're young and facing the possibility of starting the bad old days. It's all because of sin. It's all because of sin. But listen, take a look back in Nehemiah chapter 9, and we'll just start down in verse 16. It says, "But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey. Neither were mindful of the wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage." Israel's sitting there and they're going over all this stuff. And you know what the Lord simply wants? The Lord wants them to listen. He wants them to listen to all the goodness, to all the good things that He's done over their life, all the good things He's done for them as a people. He wants them to listen. But this whole nation, as a whole, time and time again, didn't listen to God. Now listen, we're kind of at a stage like that right now. As a whole, there's a lot of things that, you know, happened in this election that we look back and we go, where is our nation going? But I tell you what, when the nation of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, and they watched God part the Red Seas and all of them walk through on dry land, and then a little while later, they get up to the Jordan and they're getting ready to cross over. Listen, God has fed them manna. God has, you know, given them water out of the rock. God has done all these miracles. They get up to cross the river Jordan the first time around, and a bunch of leaders, you know, decide, okay, let's send 12 spies over into the land of Canaan. And they see what's going on. So they're waiting for these 12 spies while they're over there in the land of Canaan. Listen, don't you know there was a bunch of families, I'm assuming this, don't you know there was a bunch of families sitting around at night, and a little kid comes up to Dad and says, Dad, what are we doing? And he says, well, son, you know, we've been wandering around this wilderness for a while, and we're getting ready to see God take us into the promised land. Don't you know that there were some people in the nation of Israel that still remember those miracles? They were still holding and clinging on to those things. And this father probably told his son, you know, son, here before too awful long, we're going to get ready to cross over into that promised land that God's given us. And listen, that's where you and I are at right now. There's a lot of things going on around us, and there's a lot of potential for a lot of things to go wrong, but there's still some people sitting around saying, you know what, God is still in control. My God is still talking to me. My God still expects me to listen. And I know what God has planned, and I know that it's all going to work out. And there were some fathers, I'm sure, that assured their children that, you know, our government has sent 12 spies over into the land, son, and they're going to go over there and they're going to find the best way to go into this land so that we can go in and conquer it. And then something happened. The whole nation suffered because 10 spies came back and they were too afraid to go over. So where does that leave you? Where does that leave you? Why does God want you to listen? Listen, why does God want you to listen? God wants you to listen because no matter what we're going through as a country, as a people, as a church, as a family, as a nation, as a planet, no matter what we're going through, God has some things that He wants to remind you and I of. He wants to sit us down and remind us of all the good times. He wants to sit us down and remind us of the victories. He wants to sit you down and remind you of the times where you could have lost your life, but you didn't. Where you could have made that one big mistake that would have really messed things up, but you didn't. And He wants you to know that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Romans 2:4 says, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Listen, what does God want? He just wants you to listen. It's not hard. It's not deep theology. It's not difficult to understand. God's sitting here this morning talking to each and every one of you about something. About something. You know what He wants? He just wants you to listen. Maybe it's about where do I go from here in life. Maybe it's about how do I get my marriage back on track. Maybe it's about how do I keep these sins from getting victory over me day in, day out. Maybe it's about how do I control my temper. How do I control this? God's trying to speak to you about something. God just wants you to listen. I take a look. During that time when Israel refused to listen, I want you to know one thing. God remained in pursuit of that nation. God remained in pursuit of that nation. Take a look at chapter 9. We stopped about halfway through verse 17, look down again. And remember in verse 16, but our fathers dealt proudly. harden their necks, hearken not unto thy commandments, refuse to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf and said, This is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt, and had wrought great provocations, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them the light and the way that they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing, their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Now listen, we go back to the basics and you ask this, what does God want? Simple. He wants you to listen. He wants you to listen. And even when you struggle with trying to listen, God will continue to pursue you. The nation of Israel didn't listen. They transgressed and did all those things. And God, you know what? He stuck by their side. Gave them the pillar of fire. Gave them the cloud. He gave them manna. He took care of their needs. Even when they were in their rebellion, God walked hand in hand right along beside them and guided them and took care of them along the way. We have a merciful and gracious God, don't we? And all along, God sent people. And you know what He wanted? He just wanted them to listen. He just wanted them to listen. You say, how do I know that the Lord Jesus Christ wants anything at all to do with me? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you how. He puts you in a place where you can listen. You say, isn't God through with me? Isn't it too late? Haven't I just gone too far? No, you're here. You're listening. That wasn't by accident. God took all those people, set them up, and all He wanted them to do was listen. So let me ask you this. Are you going to listen? I don't know what it is. I don't know what the Lord's got that He's dealing with you inside the deep recesses of your heart about. Like I said, maybe it's something to do with the direction you need to go in your life. Maybe it's a habit you need to stop. Maybe it's a habit you need to start. Maybe it has to do with salvation. But are you going to listen? Are you going to listen? So the Lord puts you in a place where you can listen. And then you know what He wants you to do? Turn to John chapter 3. Very familiar passage, John chapter 3. The Lord gets you in the place and He'll read the Bible to you and He'll put people in your path that'll give you the words of God and they'll bring up things and they'll talk to you. They'll talk to you about your eternal soul. And the Lord will tug at that heart. And they'll talk to you about salvation through Jesus Christ. And the Lord will tug at that heart and say, you know what, there's something to that. The Lord will sit you down and talk to you and something will get brought up in preaching, an illustration, a verse or something in your daily Bible reading, or something will run across your mind in prayer, and the Lord will tug at your heart and say, that's what I want you to deal with. That's what I want you to work on. That's where I want you to go. And that little tug will be there. And you know what He wants? He just wants you to listen. And once He's got you in a place where you'll actually finally listen, He just wants you to believe. He just wants you to believe. Now, you know the story here, Nicodemus, John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto Him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The Lord Jesus Christ takes the nation of Israel, and He'll take you to a place where He just wants you to listen. And then listen. That's pretty silly. And then He just wants you to believe. He just wants you to believe. You know what our trouble is that we think we have the right answer. We think we know everything. We think, you know, we have the same mistake. All of us have the same common faults in man. We sit back and we think, oh, I've got things taken care of. I'm okay. I've got everything in order. I've got everything set out. Everything's checked out. Everything's ready to go. I went on a dive this summer. And it was a pretty big dive. Went up to Lake Superior. We were on a boat. And we were getting out there. And this is like not a little, you know, itty-bitty recreational type dive. This was like a 250-foot dive. Way, way, way down there. All right? A lot of training. You say, how many hours did you practice for this? Hours and hours and hours. All the emergency procedures, everything. You know, bottles. I've got two tanks on my back, doubles. I've got one big 80 aluminum foot on my right-hand side. I've got a 40-foot cubic tank on my left-hand side, another 30 cubic foot tank on my left-hand side, and I've got another tank that sits back here and it fills my dry suit with air. I've got helium in my double tank, so you look like a space suit. You look like you're getting ready to go in outer space. I've got 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 6 scuba tanks on for this dive, getting ready to go down to the ship down at the bottom of Lake Superior. But before that, so I'm thinking, I've got everything covered. I've done everything. I've got all the bases covered. I've trained. I've done everything I should do. I'm ready to go. You know, I spent all this time in preparation. I'm sitting on the boat before I ever even get in the water. I'm not even dressed yet. And I've got my gear rigged up, and I just turned my tanks on that I'm, you know, getting prepared to make this big dive. And I walk back out on the back deck of the boat, and my tanks are over there, and all of a sudden, I hear this sound. And it goes, no, nothing in that mic. And my eyes get about this big. And I look over at my tanks, and what had happened is a little O-ring on my tank had blown. So I run over to the tanks, and I shut my tanks down real quick. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what if that had happened 200 feet underwater instead of on the back of the boat? You see, the Lord wants you to listen because He's got some good things to tell you. And unfortunately, we listen and we try to convince ourselves we've got everything taken care of. Unfortunately, we try to convince ourselves, well, is what God's telling me really trustworthy? Is it worth the price? Is living this Christian life worth the price that I'm going to have to pay? My relatives may laugh at me. You may knock on somebody's door and try to witness to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they may laugh at you or worse. All right? You may have some people that have been longtime friends that don't like you anymore. And all these things run through your head because the Lord has got you to listen. Now He just wants you to believe Him. And unfortunately, a lot of times we get back and we sit back and we think, you know what? I've got it all covered. I've got it taken care of. Listen, there's always something you didn't think about. There's always something that can creep up from the side and get you. Nicodemus here is talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Nicodemus, listen, he's a ruler of the Jews. He's a smart guy. Nicodemus has got a good heart. Nicodemus goes up and he goes to Jesus by night because he thinks to himself, you know what? I don't want to get embarrassed in front of the big crowd and have that sway what I need to hear. So yeah, he's a little worried, but he goes to Jesus by night knowing, okay, this is going to be the best time for me to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he starts talking to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ talks to him. And you know what he throws at him? This whole thing about being born again. He says, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus had been listening all along. He knew who Jesus Christ was. He had heard about him. He had heard the stories. Maybe he had even seen or watched a few of the miracles. But he knew about the miracles. And so he comes, and Jesus Christ takes him to that next level. Nicodemus had been listening, but now Jesus Christ wants Nicodemus to believe. And he throws something at him that's kind of difficult to swallow. See, I wanted to believe on that dive trip that I had covered all the bases, everything was all in order, and everything was good, and I was, and the Lord just allowed that one little thing to happen to get my attention, to remind me once again, you never know where trouble is going to come from. And you got to be prepared. But I tell you what it did. It made me even a more firm believer in double-checking everything. Watching. Being on guard. Being on the defensive. So simple message. Lord will take you to a place where He just wants you to listen. Once He's got you listening, He'll take you to a place where He wants you to just to believe. And He may throw something at you that's kind of hard to believe. You may not understand it all right away. But He just wants you to believe. And listen, while Nicodemus was sitting there struggling with this over in his mind, what is this born-again thing? Is God really going to take care of me if I jump that step? Is God really going to provide for my needs if I do the right thing here? I can't see how that's going to work. The numbers don't add up. How's that going to fix my marriage if I follow that simple principle in the Bible? My problems are much bigger and deeper than that. And Nicodemus is sitting back pondering these things over in his mind. And the Lord's basically telling him, in essence, Nicodemus, it's simple. You just have to be born again. Listen, where are you at this morning? What's God trying to talk to you about? And what are the things that are keeping you from listening to God? What is it that keeps you from actually believing what you hear God saying over and over again? Do you not trust Him enough? Do you think He's wrong? Do you think you have a better idea? Do you think in the back of your head, well, I've always done it this way, this is what I've always believed, I'm not going to change because I'm too set in my ways to change now. Listen, the Lord's trying to get you to listen. And then when you actually hear, He tries to get you to believe. And for Nicodemus, he had to get through this whole idea of being born again. Listen, God's promised to pursue you. And you know what? The Lord is not going to let up on pursuing you. The Lord is not going to let up. He's not going to give up on trying to get you and trying to get you, number one, saved, born again, into the kingdom of God, and then number two, just following and serving Him. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen? Listen, He's trying to get you to believe. Sometimes we find that difficult. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Listen, I know that just watching the congregation over years, seeing different people go up, go down, different people come in and leave. Unfortunately, we see marriages fall apart. We see marriages start off, right? Got a new Mrs. Grissom there. Congratulations. Another one of them. So now when somebody says, it's Mrs. Grissom's fault, it's her. But listen, you look through this thing, and just like the nation of Israel, as a congregation and as individuals, we've experienced ups and downs, successes and failures. And all along, the Lord's been trying to get a hold of us and just get us to listen. And then when He does get us to listen, just get us to believe Him. It's not hard. It's just we're frail men. And sometimes we think we got a better idea. Listen, if you're sitting here this morning and the Lord has been dealing with you about anything, I don't care if it's 5 minutes or 5 years, it's time to listen and it's time to believe. You don't know how much time you have left. You don't know what's going to happen next. If the Lord can ever get you to the place where you actually believe Him, you know what? There's only one thing left to do. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Again, back to the basics. Back to the basics. We're dealing with God of the universe. Acts chapter 8. Let's take a look down at verse 34. And of course, we're picking up in the middle of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch is sitting here and he's about ready to go to his Bible and read in his Bible. And he reads, of course, Isaiah 53 and reads about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't understand what's going on completely. And so we pick up in Acts 8, verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? Of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. So the Ethiopian eunuch had been sitting there reading the Bible. He had been listening. He read the scriptures. Now Philip comes along, explains to him. Now he understands. Now listen, the Ethiopian eunuch now has a choice. Do I accept what Philip just told me? I've listened, I believe, am I going to take that final step and accept what Philip has just told me, or am I going to reject what Philip has just told me? See, in verse 36, they're going on their way, and the Ethiopian eunuch is sitting back thinking about all this. And he's got to ask himself a question, am I ready? Am I ready? In verse 36 it says, And they went on their way. Phrase doesn't seem to mean much. But Philip had told him all this stuff, and now they're going on their way. And the eunuch is just sitting there thinking about it. And he's thinking about it and pondering it. It doesn't say how far they went. May have taken 5 minutes, may have taken a half hour. I don't know. But at some point, God had gotten that Ethiopian eunuch to listen. And then he'd gotten that Ethiopian eunuch to actually believe what was being said. And that's a big challenge. And if you ever get to the point where the Lord can get you to listen and then believe whatever He's trying to deal with you about, listen, the only thing left to do is accept it. And the Ethiopian eunuch makes that choice. He says, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And basically he tells Philip, yes, I'm ready to get saved. I've listened. I know all about Jesus Christ. I understand. I believe it. And I'm ready to get saved. The Ethiopian eunuch to Philip says, yes, I want Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is a free gift. It's offered to you as a free gift. But you have to be the one to receive it. And the Lord, if you're saved here today, the Lord will take you through a lot of different paths in life, show you a lot of different things, bring a lot of obstacles in your life, try to get you on the right direction, the right course. And you're going to have to listen for that. You're going to have to believe what He's trying to do with you. And eventually, even if you're saved here, you're going to have to get to the place where you say, okay, Lord, not my will, but Thine be done. Not my will, but Thine be done. Listen, believe, and accept. Listen, I don't know what the Lord desires for you this morning. I don't know where you stand. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know where you're going in life. I don't know where you want to go. But I know this. I know He's put you in a place where you can just simply listen. Maybe you picked up some good golf tips. And you apply those lessons to your spiritual life. Maybe the Lord is trying to talk to you about some things. Marriage, kids, sin, habits, start, stop. Where do I go from here? Where do I leave? What direction do I go in life? Maybe you're sitting here going through a rough time. Maybe the Lord's just trying to give you a little bit of comfort. I don't know. But maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're lost. And you know you're lost. And you've been struggling with that decision for a long time. You've listened off and on. And you even kind of believed off and on, but you've never done anything about it. You've never actually taken that step. I'd just like to say this. Back in Nehemiah, when the children of Israel turned their backs on God time and time again, God pursued them. And He fed them manna. And He directed them with the cloudy pillar and the pillar of fire. And He gave them water to drink. And He took care of them. He took care of their clothes. 40 years He took care of their clothes. They didn't wear out. God is good. God is gracious. And God will take care of you too. But He does want you to listen. And He does want you to believe. And He does want you to get to that point where you will actually accept what He has to offer. Like Brother Jensen said this morning, it's the basics. Listen, believe, and accept. Maybe you've listened. Maybe you've believed. But have you ever accepted what He has to offer? That's what I'd like you to think about this morning. God's pursuing you, but will you accept? I forgot who said it one time. I wrote it down on a note in my Bible that I was going through, and I ran across it. I was getting ready for this. But it said this: with the mind, we learn the truth. With the heart, we love the truth. And with our will, we live the truth. With our will, we accept the truth. And what I'm after this morning from you is to try to break that barrier of your will. And I'm just saying, will you accept what He has to offer? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we, Lord, have come before You again on Sunday morning and talked about some of the things of Jesus Christ. Father, He's offered us free salvation. He's offered us a home in heaven. Father, all that revolves simply around forgiveness of sins. And the Bible says there is no other name, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Jesus Christ offers us salvation as a free gift, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. And if there's somebody here in this congregation who's never trusted Jesus Christ before, who's never accepted Him by faith, Father, I pray that today they would have listened, and I pray that today they would have believed. And right now, I pray that they would accept. Father, for the rest of us Christians who have believed already, Lord, there's other things that You're trying to deal with us about. And we need to have tender hearts as well. I just pray that Your will be done as we sing the song of invitation, that You deal with our hearts. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's turn to number 318. And accept. If you're lost here today, please come down this aisle. Don't hold back. God has promised to pursue you. Lost or saved, He'll pursue you. Give in before it's too late. Okay, on the last verse. Brother Dave, can you close us in a word of prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we heard this morning. Lord, thank you that you're gracious and long-suffering towards us. Lord, help us be attentive to how you're trying to speak to us, and help us be obedient to that. Father, if there's anybody here that does not know you as your Lord and Savior, I pray you do not give them rest until they have that settled. Help us see their sin.
All right, folks, dismissed. Be back here 5:30 for prayer meeting. And looking forward to seeing you then. Amen.